This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Dave Hill's podcasting incident on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's podcasting incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once was able to get a handful of free ketchup packets just outside of Wilmington. This guy's car broke down. I don't want to get into it. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again for Dave Hill's podcasting incident. We have an exhilarating episode ahead. I'll get into it in a second. Before I do, thanks so much for listening to this, my new podcast, So You're Canadian with Dave Hill, that I also do with Chris Gersbeck. That's on the Maximum Fun Network. And of course, History Fluffer with Jim Biederman, Chris Gersbeck, and sometimes Jody Lennon. I encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe to all of them, or my feelings will be hurt. Also, support us on Patreon if you can. Patreon.com/Dave Hill. Lots of amazing goodies coming your way for that. I have to do this really quick because I'm running up the street to go do a show at Symphony Space. We recorded the bulk of the episode. All right, now I'm just doing the intros. Wow, I'm really showing you how the sausage is made right now. I apologize, and also you're welcome. Did I mention my new book, Parking the Moose, is coming out? It's out October 8th. Please pre-order it now or get it when it comes out. And if you're in New York City, October 3rd it is, yes, Thursday, come to McNally Jackson at South Street Seaport, 7 p.m. Mike Sachs from Vanity Fair, and also a good buddy of mine, is going to be asking me the tough questions, and then we're all going to get loose with Canadian food, drink, music, and probably a few hockey fights until the Mounties ask us to leave. It's going to be electric. Don't miss it. Okay, I think that's all the plugs, the shameless plugs I'm trying to squeeze in here. But let's just get into it. My good buddy Doug Gillard, one of my an old friend that I've known for long time, the 90s at least. He's of course guitar player and Guided by Voices, Not a Surf. He's a brilliant solo artist. He's played with all sorts of folks. He played on Nico Case's new record. He's the best, and he's been on this show before, and psyched that I could talk him into coming over again and putting up with my bullshit. And Chris is there as well, so the three of us were chatting. Lucy interrupts at times. She drinks water. Look forward to it. Here is my delightful conversation with Doug Gillard. Doug, thank you so much for coming over to my lovely home.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
This is your magical, second appearance, I think, on Dave Hill's podcasting incident, and you were on my WFMU show a few times. You might be an MVP of my podcast collective
empire.
Works.
Okay.
Yeah. And also a fellow Clevelander.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. Chris is not from...
Not
the promised land. How have you been? I'm sorry, I'm getting all
formal. I've been
formal.
All right. I've been okay.
I get all nervous once those red lights go on. Wait, are you? I saw on Instagram today. You guys,
your
playing,
recording sign is flashing in the doorway.
It's blinding. Yeah. The whole. It's like we're in a Fleabag hotel in Times Square in 1972. Mm-hmm. And the neon lights are...
Speaking of, was that... Forgive me if I'm wrong, I watched the Emmys the other night, a little bit of it. And your old colleague, Brett Gelman, got to go on stage.
Oh, yeah, because he's Fleabag.
Was it Fleabag he was in?
He's in Fleabag, yeah. That's pretty awesome.
I felt proud to have done your show with him one time.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Talented guy.
Yeah, totally. I want to be on Fleabag. I've just secreted it.
You could make it happen.
I mean, maybe they'll have me be his wacky friend.
Is she doing more seasons?
Should do that.
I feel like that was it.
Really?
Yeah. Could be wrong.
English, they seem to do that with English shows, just like power moves. They're like, yeah, I made this amazing show,
yeah,
and I'm done.
We're done. No more.
That's like such
a... We won't sully it.
I like that. That's a really good model for television. It's just,
it kind of is.
It'd just be like, oh, this is amazing, and we're done. Go everyone.
But I'm just hearing about something that's cool, and I find out I have 5 seasons to catch up on.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
exciting. They're ending it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Not that, but there was something else, too.
But do you find, and I'm sure I've discussed this on this incredible show before, with now with you could stream everything, the more I hear about a show, the more, like, I haven't seen Fleabag, even though I'm friends with Brett, and I should, for that reason alone, have seen it already.
I have to say, I didn't even know about it.
But
a couple years ago, my sister hit me to, can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say the F's and the S's and all
Schitt's
the,
Creek.
All of them. Oh yeah.
I'm sorry, I just swore.
That's I haven't seen that
but,
yet.
But so we watched together. We watched some episodes and kind of we started at the beginning. But then there's so much ahead of that I need to. So I haven't.
It's daunting.
You gotta back and watch. You know, it's because it's a serial, and you know.
Yeah, it takes. You got.
It's good. It's really funny. I've always liked, you know, Eugene and Catherine and stuff.
Yeah, and Chris Elliott's on it.
Yeah.
The cast is amazing. No, but I need to get into that too, but same reason, like, I'm like, oh, I need to carve out. I need to, like, be in a cabin somewhere and really hunker down with this show.
People say similar things about our catalog, Guided by Voices.
I was going to make an amazing segue into that.
But with
that.
Music and albums, it's not... It's different because you can start anywhere.
You can, and I feel
you can
like
just jump in.
The thing I like about
you don't have to hear the definitive thing or what people think is the definitive thing.
No, and you can go. Yeah, you can just. The only thing I'll say is like I.
It's not an R. Kelly song racist story.
Though the parallels
and
are.
It has nothing to do with urine either.
Then, well, if you listen closely, but you've released. There's been 3 Guided by Voices records this year so far.
There will be. Sweating the Plague is the new one.
Is
out
not
in
out.
October. Coming out in October.
Oh, okay.
We've released a single from it, but
I scooped this. Well, I didn't scoop this. I don't know why I even said I scooped. Used that. I don't know what's wrong with me, but like I said, like it was a hot bit of information I got. I didn't scoop it. I Googled it because I was like, wait a minute. I thought I was up to date on your releases, and then I was like, wait, Sweating the Play, I don't have that. But now that's the reason.
Yeah, that'll be out October 31st.
I've somehow wound up, I shouldn't even say this out loud because it'll probably ruin everything, but I've somehow wound up on some magical list somewhere where I get all the new releases.
Ooh,
from...
Like sent to you directly?
Yes. Like... They appear.
Something where you have to share and upload something else to receive more things?
No, it's just go and then
that sounds like a scam.
One of your handlers emails me.
Oh, I see.
And says, "Here you go," and I'm like, "Good." Good. I mean, I feel bad because I'm not.
Well, that's rad.
Contributing to your lifestyle.
Well, you're a musician yourself, and you have releases, and you know. You can be trusted to not leak.
No. Before we hit record, you said you just played at Riot Fest.
Yeah, Guided by Voices played Riot Fest in Chicago.
How's that?
Daytime slot. It was fun. Yeah.
Any wild stories?
Nothing too wild. Were many stages and many acts that we didn't get to see because they were just like the band Ride was there on some other stage. We heard them. I got to hear them from afar when I was going to the catering mess hall tent, but they sounded good, but we were about to set up so I couldn't watch them. But on our stage the lineup went Nick Lowe with Los Straitjackets.
Awesome.
Village People, Sure.
Guided by Voices, awesome. B-52s, and Ween.
That's a pretty, a strong
I could plan
stage.
Myself there for a while.
Yeah.
That's like,
I always feel bad for the crowd in these stages because, I mean, they're just right in the sun and it was hot.
But I like a nice rainy outdoor festival. Just cooling off.
Well, it was already muddy anyway. But it was fun.
Did you meet the policeman from the Village People?
He's the original guy.
He's the only original guy?
Yeah.
They're all...
Our sound man, Travis, was out there getting to... You know, he's kind of setting up our stuff ahead of time, just kind of getting to know the board. Or he was happened to be there at the soundboard during their set. And
hey, Lucy.
They just had a house guy kind of mixing him. What's his name? Victor? The cop singer?
His you wife, know the guy's name?
His wife was standing around.
Wait, Victor, the cop singer, is straight?
Yeah.
What?
His wife was standing around, and she's like, oh, fiddlesticks, let me at that board. And she just commands the board, and she starts mixing the band.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was badass.
There's a lot of details to that story mm-hmm. that are blowing my mind. I know Cowboy Randy Jones, the original cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the original cowboy. Uh-huh.
Well, this is the Village.
We're in the Village.
Where the people were from.
Yeah, I don't know where he lives. I have his phone number. We could call him. We shouldn't call him, but we mm-hmm. could call him. Just mm. knowing we could. That's pretty good. But no, he's a delight. And he's pretty like if anyone was made to be the cowboy in the Village People, it's that guy. Like mm. when you see him, you're just mm-hmm. like, what else? That was you were born to do that.
Wow. Yeah.
Just he looks like the Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
So they have fill-in performers for the rest of them, just newer guys.
I think so. Probably. The First Nations person is has a really huge headdress now. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe that's problematic these days, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, I wonder how they...
The military guy is tiny, and he just wears, like, fatigue, like, camouflage. And just a little, you know, Castro-style hat, one of those camouflage hats. I remember when I was a kid turning on... You know, you remember you just turn on American Bandstand, or it would just be on, you'd walk into the room, like, oh, there's Bandstand. Sometime in the mid-'80s, early to mid-'80s, and they had a mid-period Village People on.
Mid-period.
Yeah. And so there's no headdress and no helmets and stuff, and they were doing this adamant sort of thing.
Oh, wow. Oh, where they're, like, transitioning out of...
They had
like,
face. They all had face paint on this time, and they were embracing the new wave.
So it was like reverse Kiss when Kiss took the makeup off.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like, oh, they're trying. Okay, I see what they're doing.
That's not where their bread is buttered.
No.
You got to go back to the... But again, not to draw parallels to Guided by Voices again, though, but also many lineup changes mm-hmm. over the years.
Yeah, and we all wear our idiosyncratic clothing.
Yeah, that can't be debated.
No, we don't really too much anymore, but Death of Samantha was kind of like that.
Well, yeah, you had, you kind of each, you were sort of like a...
The Village People of Cleveland Underground Rock.
Yeah, and that was my first, we got some Lucy water drinking. That's always a popular...
It's been a while.
That's awesome.
It's a fan favorite when she drinks some water on the show. She's a parched dog.
That's great.
But yeah, that was my first... I remember seeing you guys at the Fantasy Nightclub.
You ever put a little vodka in her water?
Yeah, she's on a...
It's clear, so she wouldn't know.
She's sort of on a bit of vodka and Robitussin at all times, just to bring the energy level down.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, you kind of were like... You had sort of a glammy, gothy persona.
Yeah.
And then John kind of
had... That was weird.
No, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'd come through the punk deal already. I wasn't over it, but I'd started checking out T-Rex albums and Roxy Music albums and Bowie and Ronson. And that's why I got a Black Les Paul. In the mid-'80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Mark Bolan and Ronson.
Oh, nice.
Everyone was playing Fenders, but... So I got it for under $500 from a guy in the paper in Akron.
Oh, that see that
he used to play for Easy Street. There was some band that would just play, you know.
Wait, they're not the. No, I'm thinking of the Funky.
They're in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah,
you know.
But in what year is it?
85.
Wait, the it's an 85 Les Paul.
Oh, the guitar. What year?
No, it's older than that.
Yeah, it's a 76. I thought you meant when did I get it?
No, yeah, that's like. See, that was the time to get sweet old guitars. Is like.
And who knew?
Before the internet, you could just find some guy like, I need a new muffler. Here's this sweet guitar.
Yeah.
I need cocaine now.
Yeah.
Here's a sweet guitar.
What was the place in Cleveland at the end of Coventry? The guy's name was Manny, but it wasn't called Manny's.
Oh, Mayfield Music?
Mayfield Music, yeah.
Oh, that was like the biggest rip-off John ever.
Had a little cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
You could just kind of get anything.
I think he was the one that needed cocaine in some that dusty, scenario.
If you want a dusty Les Paul, like, for cheap, just offer him something.
I remember going in there, and, you know, I was like a teenager when he would like, Chris, you're sweating profusely. Are you okay?
I'm very hot.
What? It's hot in here, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have to turn off all the fans to get...
I'm also a sweaty man. Like, if it was really cold out, I'd probably be sweating.
I'm definitely hot, and
I get that way, too.
I'm guessing, Doug, you might be a little hot, but you seem like you are...
Dying?
...taking a lie detector test.
And I'm also drinking hot coffee. And
this is true. Yeah.
Oh, so anyway...
You could get...
You were talking about Death of Samantha and the way we dressed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I say this to you every time we sit down to chat in front of microphones, but Death of Samantha was the band... Like, I would go see you guys, and that was the band that I was like, oh, like, I could be in a band. Not in a bit. Not like these idiots have a band. Like, no, I mean it like in an inspirational way.
Oh, sure.
Like, where I was like... That, like, it was kind of like my, you know, in the same way that, like, I would later have the same feelings about, like, the Replacements and stuff and Husker Du and, like, but, like, in a way that, I was like, oh, because before that, I was like, it was like Led Zeppelin and I was like, those guys have castles and worship Satan, maybe, I don't know, and, like, I can't relate to that, like it's like on another plane. But then when I would go see you guys, I'd be like, these guys are doing it and they live in my town, like I could have a band.
Yeah,
it was super.
We were from Parma and Tremont.
Yeah, it was super yeah, but you guys being from Cleveland and everything, like Tim Parnon, mm-hmm. You know, I would later form a couple bands with, and yeah. he now, for the listeners now, he's in Cobra Verde, and he's in Sweet Apple,
mm-hmm.
with John Pekovic and Jay Maskus and Dave Sweet Apple.
You were in Uptown Sinclair with him, I think?
Yeah, and yeah. Sons of Elvis.
Sons of Elvis, yeah.
But for better or for worse, Death of Samantha is to blame. Because we were like, they have a band, we could have a band.
Yeah.
And
wait, where did you see us? The Fantasy mainly?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Or did you see us at Peabody's Down?
I mostly... think the Fantasy, because I remember seeing you guys, and it would have been like John had a Telecaster, I believe.
Yeah, the Brown Telecaster, yeah.
And I remember just standing.
Yeah, like, John had a lot of cool guitars. He had a Vox.
Yeah.
Like a Vox hollow body, kind of. And
like a teardrop one?
Well, Dave Swanson had a teardrop, like a white teardrop, for a while when he was in the Reactions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, John had some cool axes over the years.
Yeah. He, when I was in Cobra Verde, he somehow had two, like, Les Paul studio guitars, mm-hmm. that he had,
yeah.
got. And one of them was just all fucked up, like someone had, like, carved a spider into the top of it, mm-hmm. like, into the paint, just, like, with a, I don't know what. And I was like, can I... take this and just paint it? And he was like, yeah, sure. So
I know that. That's cool.
Yeah, he gave me, I took it and I painted it silver with blue leopard spots all over it. and I just brought it back to his house. And I was like, here you go. And I think he probably repainted it like a week later. But he was nice enough to...
I don't remember seeing that one at his
house. No, I don't think it lasted long. I think he was just like, note to self, don't let Dave leave the house with
I think it's yellow again.
Probably. He probably peeled it off because I was going through a phase.
I'm trying to find a photo of Death Samantha at Maxwell's in 87. John's got the brown telly on. It'll take a while, but anyway, if I find it, I do. Yesterday I saw the exhibit at the Met. Have you seen that?
Oh, the guitar one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ending, right?
Yeah, it's going to close next Monday, but which will be in the past once this airs, I think.
Wait, no, it's going to air tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're our turnaround time is
wow.
Brisk.
Wow.
It's like, yeah.
It's almost like we wait till the last minute to record.
It could be argued that we wait till the last minute. No, we used to stay ahead of schedule, and then our on-the-go lifestyles have caught up with us lately, mm-hmm. and we're just flying by the seat of our pants.
Okay.
But it makes for fresh mm-hmm. content.
Yeah. I noticed that you didn't brief me on anything you were going to ask.
No.
Like the Johnny Carson method.
No. I'm the anti... Johnny,
No, he did that. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, I know.
He wouldn't talk to his guests before the segment, and
so that
everything was fresh that he would bring up.
Oh, yeah.
So that the guests wouldn't say, "Well, remember what we were talking about in the hallway?"
Yeah, I think that's like from the golden era of like, because that's Dick Cavett was like that also.
Oh, good.
And now you have these.
So super produced. And like,
everything is like, yeah. Have you been... Did anything weird happen to you on a vacation to Germany 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Funny you mention.
Yeah, and there's this wink nod thing going on, and yeah.
Yeah, it's so boring.
And there's shows where the host sends the people to... His people to knock on the dressing room door and at the beginning of the show, and, hey, here's this guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they open the dressing room door, and there's some planned thing going on, some antics behind them, and...
Yeah, it's like, but I think it's because, well, you know, I prefer the old method where they
the way mm-hmm. back, yeah.
And I asked my close personal friend Dick Cavett. I said, "Why?" I say, "I feel like those shows were so much better than what we have now. Like, why? Why do they do it this way now?" And he said, "They say the public gets what the public." Once, but I disagree. I think the public gets what the public gets, and it's decided by a handful of people who have no idea what they're doing.
I like that.
And I was like, that's perfect.
I prefer that method too.
Yeah.
I preferred when albums came out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not this behind the scenes all the time. You know what they looked like recording it in the studio because there were lots of shots of them with headphones on in the studio recording it. And
yeah.
I'd rather just get it and
yeah,
get and the package just, that they designed for you to see.
Yeah, exactly. And just have to imagine.
Yeah. How is Mr. Cavett?
He's good.
Good.
He's good. I saw him a few weeks ago. He's the king.
Anna and I were on the E-train one time a few years ago, and he got on with his wife and son.
Yeah, he's a man of the people.
All dressed up. It was a Saturday night, and he just got on the E train going up a few blocks, a few stops.
He will, he doesn't, you know, he kind of will just go out, and he told me this story once where it's my favorite thing. He was on, like, some jitney or something out to Montauk or something. Uh-huh. And
wait, I thought he kind of lived out there anyway.
He lives there and then he lives he got his soul. I don't know what's going on with that place, but he was out there, but then he lives here. But he said like he was on the van or jitney or whatever, and someone was talking really loud on their cell phone. And he just yells out, "Will you either be quiet or more interesting?" And like everyone looks, and it's Dick Cavett that just, yeah. Like, can you imagine just being like burned by
Yeah.
Talk show legend.
That'd be amazing. I wish she would be on all my airplanes.
Oh, I know. That's like, yeah, that's my biggest, is people.
I don't fly a lot. People really do that, like take calls.
Sometimes. Yeah. Or new seatmates behind you discover they have a lot to talk about. Ugh. And it's the whole flight. They're not even tired. They don't want to sleep.
No, yeah, they're just like.
Or be quiet.
They're like, I've been on planes before. You've been on planes before? Tell me about the planes you've been on. I was on a plane once. They had peanuts. I love peanuts. What kind of peanuts do you like? And it's just, it's like surface conversation for 6 hours.
Yeah. And then a poor, like, newborn starts crying behind them.
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess I can't. And then they go.
Some baby starts crying behind them, and then they go, oh, God. Are you kidding me? Like, wait, you haven't shut up the whole flight.
I've sort of babies learned to, like, not be mad at babies or their parents anymore. There was a time.
Me too. It's tough.
When I was just like, shut that kid up. But then I was like, oh, that's not the kid's fault and the parents. It's not the parents' fault. But people who, one time, I feel like I probably said this publicly in some fashion before, but I feel like it's reprehensible behavior, so I don't mind saying it. I was getting on a plane. I don't know where I was flying, but I get on the plane and I pass Debbie Harry and Chris Stein from Blondie, of course. And they're sitting there and I was just like, whoa. And I was just like, you guys are awesome. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And which I normally never say anything to anybody like that I see mm-hmm. in public.
Sure.
And then I'm sitting and it was just like, I don't remember where we were flying. It was like some smaller city because it was like a small plane, and then I hear like someone's like watching TMZ videos at full volume on the plane, and it's, you know, because you're like that TMZ sound. And I was just like, who the fuck is doing this? Like, I want to kill them. And then I look, I'm like, because I always have to pinpoint who the culprit is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm like, I just have to have it in my brain who is doing this that I want to kill. And it was Chris Stein.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, what? But you're my hero. You can't do that. But I didn't let it go.
Your heroes are rude.
I know. But then I was just like.
At times.
I think sometimes people don't realize how annoying that is. And they're just like, well, just watch this at full volume. I don't think it was.
He survived a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I guess we got to give it to him.
Yeah.
So, Chris, if you're listening, and we can only assume he is, I apologize.
Surprised he's into TMZ that much.
I mean, celebrities, they're just like us.
He was probably, he saw they had one of those things where they show a picture of an ex, CBGB member when they were young, and then they want you to click, so they say, "Remember them?"
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then
Patti Smith, remember them?
Yeah, and then they're like,
Tom Verlaine, remember them? And then they show
TMZ does that all the time.
You know.
With television members.
Yeah, Billy Ficca. Remember him? What's he up to these days?
You know what, Blondie, speaking of Blondie in Cleveland, and probably the fifth thing that I've, a story that I like to tell over and over, but my second band, Uptown Sinclair, we opened for Blondie in Cleveland at like one of those big outdoor places, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Not Nautica, but like when there
Rock
was
and
like
Hall of Fame?
Briefly there was like a competing Nautica. Like the new Nautica.
The Scene stage or something? The Scene magazine stage?
Yeah, some like big outdoor thing.
In the flats?
Yeah. In like, so we do sound check, and Clem Burke is walking around, and he looks amazing.
I met him one time. We did a festival with him. And
oh, nice.
I just got him to sign a napkin or something. That's all I had, but he was nice.
Yeah, he's a super nice guy. They're all super nice. And so he's wearing, dressed impeccably, like awesome suit. And then I see, like, he's got a wardrobe case of a bunch of other awesome suits.
Mm-hmm.
And then
nice touring budget.
We come off stage and he's there in jeans and a tracks jacket and a t-shirt. And I'm just like, Clem, what are you doing?
Looking like Polly Walnuts.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing here? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he totally. I was like, what are you going on? What are you doing? And he's like, oh, this is what I wear when we play. I'm like, wait, so you walk around, that outfit you had on before was just your walking around outfit, and this is your stage outfit?
That's pretty great.
Yeah, I was like,
you kind of like that. I'm going to dress up. King. I'm going to dress up before and after the shows now.
That's the move. That's what, you know who else does that? Is
Charlie. I just wear t-shirts, and I'm going to buy, like, Skechers or something. Screw this Adidas Vans, you know, thing that we have going.
But that's what Charlie Watts does, too.
Or maybe the Payless
yeah.
house brand.
Just get just have, like, a garbage bag of them that you take with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Charlie Watts does that. He wears, like, a cut-off t-shirt on stage, and then off stage, he's the best dressed man in the world. Okay. Power moves.
Wow.
This leads me to my next, being the king of the segues. So how do you guys do, when the new Guided by Voices records you do, do you guys, because four of you live here, right?
Yeah.
In New York. And Bob lives in Ohio. So do you guys record all the music here?
Pretty much, yeah. Travis Harrison has a studio in Brooklyn, in Dumbo, mm-hmm. and most times we will convene there and record the music. Bobby Bear Jr. comes up from Nashville. He lives in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Born and raised in Nashville. His dad was just on that the Ken Burns country thing recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Travis will kind of, you know, engineer it, kind of put things together. He will travel to Dayton, record Bob's vocals
mm-hmm.
with his equipment. And
and where does he do it? Just at his house or something?
Airbnb.
Really?
Yeah, just kind of...
That's awesome.
They'll just get
book a house and...
They'll just book some random house and go crank out.
It's usually
out the
same
vocals.
One. There's one
oh.
that we like to use. But
Am I asking too many trade secrets?
No.
I don't want to
No, it's been mystify. Talked about, but... August by Cake, Bob came to New York and recorded with us all together, so.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably change it up again shortly. I mean, who knows? It's fun to try different things. The album Warp and Woof, which came together this year,
yeah.
was a series of 7-inch EPs, 6-song EPs. And to fit those songs on 7-inch EPs, there's 3 songs a side, so they all had to be 2 minutes, which is a great restriction to have, I think.
Yeah.
They're short, poppy. Quick and dirty. So we did that mostly on the road with Travis's equipment, and we recorded a lot of guitar parts in the van, believe it or not, just kind of direct with his amp modeling. And
oh, really? So you
he
didn't
would get
even...
Bob in a hotel room some morning after a show. He'd do the vocals. Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't
And he'll put it together in the van. He'll just like be editing the whole time. And
oh, wow. How would you do the drums?
On stage.
Like a sound check?
Yeah, sometimes. And also, sometimes before and after the fact, Kevin would play. He would record him himself with his friend Ray Ketchum in
New
Jersey.
Oh, so you would do it to like a click track or something? Or he would...
Well, there were demos.
Uh-huh.
Bob makes up demos
and
for us to go on.
What's his... Oh, okay, so Kevin
we
would do
those.
The drums first.
Yeah.
So you learn off. And then, doesn't he have some weird process with the demo, like with a cassette recorder or something?
Bob himself?
Yeah.
He records the demos on a boombox, just playing guitar and singing
uh-huh.
at once, playing acoustic, and just, records them on the boombox, and he edits as well a different part in, put them together on a CD.
Yeah, I don't understand that, I heard something about that, the editing process, like what is that?
Travis
entail?
Will further sort of edit those,
I mean,
just to
like,
make sure everything makes sense, put a click track to them.
He'll edit like the verse and the chorus together?
Bob will. I mean, Bob makes sure the song is how it should go first.
Why wouldn't he just play the song in its entirety on the acoustic?
Well, because he's always sort of rearranging and thinking, and maybe this part should go here. So he'll just kind of like.
Oh, so he'll dump it in the computer and chop it up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I'm getting this, or something like that.
Yeah, from the boombox to the CD burner. There's a method that he has, and
none of us have seen him do it, so we're not sure how it happens. Yeah, but he's definitely got a plan, always.
That's always pretty wild. Does that.
Sometimes the songs are intact, start to finish, the demos, I mean.
Wow. And then how do you decide, because there's so many songs to pick, how do you decide which ones to play? There's 7 billion, then you have all these.
Well, Bob gives them to us as an intact album.
No, what I mean, like when you tour, like you're playing tomorrow in Brooklyn, how will you?
You'll make up the set list.
You just roll right it up and you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
We pretty much know ahead of time, this is a festival show, this is a blah, blah, blah show, we'll have, this is a full length show, we'll have almost 3 hours, so we're playing everything.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the master list pretty much is. We just don't know the sequence.
Oh, okay.
So festival shows are going to be shorter.
You have all the songs locked and loaded.
Yeah, and we know ahead of time if we're going to be putting in something new.
Mm-hmm.
To learn ahead of time, new old songs or new songs.
But what do you do like tomorrow? Let's say hypothetically, I start drinking at noon.
I just got the set list today.
Oh wow, he's already put it together.
Read it out.
Well, okay. Mark and Bobby are traveling with Bob right now, so, and they just did a screenshot of Bob's notebook.
Oh, nice.
He wrote the set out for tomorrow.
And then does someone have to copy all those 5-6 times or whatever?
We either do it right before the set. Yeah, we usually do it before the set with markers and 11x17 sheets of paper. I use two because I write big, so I don't have to wear glasses on stage.
Yeah, it's a better move. But then, so what? But
I mean,
when
I don't mind wearing glasses. It's just that
they fog up.
Or headband.
When you're rocking,
I don't want to have a strip.
No, that's like who's the band I saw that did that? No Means No or someone.
It's not Mark Mothersbaugh did it to good effect, but
that was
the whole character.
But what do you do, like, because there's got to be a bunch of dudes who are like, play blah, 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 every show. Like, I'll do that tomorrow
sometimes.
Night. It's like, play the bill.
Anymore, our fans, they just kind of, they know it's planned out, and they know we're going to thrill them.
Yeah, you're going to give them a show. They're going to get a show.
Yeah.
I always think
And they trust Bob's sequencing. They know... They like being surprised.
They know they're in good rock hands.
They know there's going to be a chestnut coming pretty soon.
And you guys play stuff from the whole catalog, right?
Yeah. New Year's Eve, we're going to play in L.A. at the Terragram, a 100-song show.
Nice.
Whoa. That's a lot.
It was initially billed as 100 songs for $100. That's what the fans are paying for that show. It's New Year's Eve, though, so you get... a whole package.
You get a sit.
And so we'll be on stage for 4-5 hours, something like that.
Whoa.
And there's a lot of old short ones were thrown in for that.
That's going to be how long will that take? That'll be.
But Bob said it's
going to be a character builder.
The promise is 100 songs. It doesn't necessarily have to be 100 original songs. So we might throw Old Susanna in there.
Spangled Banner. This is a good loophole to have.
It's going to be all original Guided by Voices songs or Pollard solo songs, whatever. It's going to be all.
There's a lot to keep up with. Like, I used to think that I was keeping up pretty well. Like, I was like, I know Guided by Voices. I'm a real big fan. And then the more shows I saw, I was like, I don't know anything. But I was just like, oh, there's a lot of curveballs coming down, down the
keeping
pike.
Keeping up with the Daytonians.
Yeah. I went I was shooting a movie in, if I can get glamorous for a minute, in Dayton.
Oh, is that out?
It's out. It's called Boy Band. And it's, we tried to get Bob Pollard to be in the movie. And I don't know what happened with that.
Oh.
But,
I heard you went to our headquarters, Rockathon.
That's what I was going to say. I went to, and it's like, If anyone doesn't know, but it's like a ghost town record store. Like you walk in, and it seems like a functioning record store, but it's
yeah,
not.
They have things displayed on racks.
Yeah,
but it's not a retail store.
No, it's like you just walk in,
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Yeah.
It was cool. I really liked it.
Matt and Mike running that are saints, and they're great. They work really hard for us, mailing things out and, you know, accepting all the orders.
They even make the shirts there, or some of them.
There's a little screening that goes on there.
Yeah, but it was an impressive operation. Well, Dayton, though. I love Dayton, though.
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, I've had some tough... It's a resilient, wonderful
city. It's great.
And Dave Chappelle lives not far. He lives in Yellow Springs, I guess. Do you ever get out to Yellow Springs when you're
done? We played a festival there last year. It's called Springs Fest.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know if he has anything to do with it, or he might help fund it, or maybe not, but he was there. He came... You know, he saw our set, and he was hanging out afterwards.
Dave Chappelle came backstage to a GBV show?
Yeah, or back back grass, back tent, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He would boombox, made by Beats, but it was thin, but it was this big rectangle about this high and about 3 feet wide and 3 feet high. Filled with speakers, and he was just carrying that around.
So he would have his jams with
him? Bluetoothing it. Yeah, yeah. He was playing all sorts of dear Stevie Wonder, this and that.
So, but wasn't there already music at the festival?
Well, this is afterwards.
Oh, afterwards.
After show.
Okay. I like that. And good move.
He would put it down on the grass in this one spot, hang out for a while, then he'd carry it around and put it in another spot, hang out for a while.
My brother, I feel like it's okay to talk about this. I went to his house. I've been there many times, but I went for some occasion, some party, and there was this guy who was married to like a friend, you know, like their kids went to school together or something. And there's this guy sitting in the living room with a cooler. He shows up with a cooler, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool." Like he wanted to make sure the beers he brought were cold for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, that's considerate. And then he sits down, like, in my brother's living room with a cooler. And then I was like, what's going on with this guy? Like, and my brother's like, those are his beers. I'm like, wait, he brings a cooler of beers for himself? And he's like, yeah, he's a weirdo. Like, he... It's like, so this guy's like in his 40s or whatever, but he showed up like it was a high school party. Like, I got my cold once, and he would,
but don't touch him.
Yeah. And he would go to the bathroom and he would take his beer and put it in the cooler and shut it, come back.
Oh my God.
And like, he just had his own beer. So I'm like, that's really weird behavior to come to an adult party in someone's home with your own
cooler
that you're not. Like, he's just...
And he probably brought a six-pack to a party once, and everyone drank them but him.
And he was just scarred for life.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it gets better. Oh, that's the... Oh, for the listener, Doug has just pulled up a photo of this incredible Dave Chappelle boom. That's amazing.
The problem is there's nothing in the picture for scale.
Yeah.
A person to stand.
It looks like
waist high,
yeah,
I would
say. Someone could just...
I'm going by the blades of grass, and it's impressive. The yeah, that's amazing. I have to get one of those. We all have to get those.
I'm sure it was given to him, right?
Yeah, you would think. Probably Dr. Dre sent it over.
He was nice. He was quiet, but I think he was, you know, quiet for a reason.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
But, this guy, though, I was like, I said to my brother, I was like, that's so weird to do that. And he's like, that's nothing. He used to come and set up. He would stand in the corner. He brought his own CD player, boombox. And he would bring CDs of music that he wanted to listen to and stand in the corner and play his own music. And he wouldn't sit down. And he would just sit there with his cooler and his music playing, like, in the corner of the living room, even if there was other music playing at the party.
Oh, man.
And these are, like, middle-aged people in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this guy's amazing. They since split up, this couple, I guess.
But, why did he go out to be in public? Because
I don't know. But it was just amazing. It was like he kind of just wanted to have his own comforts at all times, I guess. I mean,
I can kind of relate to that.
I can relate to it, but I also think it's insane behavior.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a, you know, sounds like an Animal House style movie character.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you're like, yeah, if I were 18, I could see, I wouldn't do it, but I could see someone doing it not thinking it was that weird.
Yeah.
But the guy's like 40.
Sounds something. Like a Harold Ramis movie.
Yeah.
You know.
What's the, can you tape a Guided by Voices concert? Like a, do you have like a Grateful Dead policy? Or like Fish?
We don't, I don't think we do have a policy.
Like where people can just tape.
I think it's people can do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Not for commercial gain, I guess.
When I show up with my Dave Chappelle boombox, wasted, screaming request, taping the show, screaming Doug's name.
Hey, you know, bootlegs are fine.
Yeah, I like a nice bootleg.
I'm not speaking on behalf of the band, I'm just saying.
No, no.
The bootleg culture is cool.
Yeah, it's a way like...
I found out the shows that I was at have been taped and put out on CD. I didn't even know.
Like ones you were attending or that you were playing?
Yeah, ones that I've attended and they're just like some fond memory of the mid-80s. Or someone said, that's actually out. Like, what?
Oh, that's wild.
Anyway.
But yeah, I would like, when I started going to shows, I would go see, yeah, I would just like any, I would go see stuff that I was excited to see, Death of Samantha, but then I would see, I remember like Starship played a free concert and I was like, I'm in. And then the opening band was Slam Bamboo.
Oh, right.
With Trent Reznor on keyboards, I believe. Oh. A little bit of Cleveland history for you. We'll go out on a Slam Bamboo, Lucky Pierre, Slam Bamboo.
Yeah, Lucky Pierre was great. I didn't get to see them really during their heyday, but they were great.
Yeah, a lot of Cleveland.
Do you know Tom Lash?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I know Tom. I think I saw Tom probably last time I run into him. Mm-hmm. Pretty, I saw him fairly within the last year for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Great.
So we should go out on that. Shout out to Tom Lash. We salute you.
Yeah.
Good man. There's my stomach again.
So what else do we need to
oh,
talk
we
about?
We need to. We need to. Well, so you're playing. Well, you will be playing tonight, with the day this is released, in Brooklyn at Industry City.
Yes, it's an outdoor show. It's down. It's down in Brooklyn.
Are there? And it's just
what's
you.
The neighborhood Sunset. Down, Park. Sunset Park.
It's way out there. I mapped it out. It's like 5 miles away.
Yeah, it's down the BQE.
And then you're the only band, right?
I believe so.
You guys have been doing that a lot lately. No openers.
Right.
That's the way to do
it. Well, our set's really long. And,
like Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I just I produced this band in San Francisco called the Bye Bye Blackbirds.
Uh-huh.
And the record isn't mastered yet, but it's going to be. It's like a pop guitar band, Bradley Scott's band. And
nice.
So that'll be coming out sometime probably beginning of next year or something.
And what about, you've been playing with Not a Surf again.
Every now and then I'll play with Not a Surf. Mm-hmm. And I recorded on a few of the songs on their upcoming record. Not every song, but played a little bit with them. And Bambi Kino is still occasionally doing shows. The Beatles, Hamburg band.
I did a show with Mark Razzo the other night at where I think you guys just played at the Century Club. Did you guys?
Yeah, Bambi Kino did, yeah.
He was saying that you guys played there. And for the listener, Bambi Kino, you guys play the songs that the Beatles played when they were doing those shows like in Hamburg.
Yeah, mainly the covers.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all covers, but there's a couple obscure originals that they wrote that we have in our set.
And the band is you, Mark Razzo, Eric Paparazzi.
Yeah, Eric from Cat Power and Bass, Ira Elliott from Not a Surf on drums.
Yeah, and he was saying that at the last show you guys played there, that Bill Murray appeared.
Yeah, Bill was there.
That's pretty sweet.
He was dancing around to us and got us drinks afterwards. And
that's a pretty good.
He was pretty animated.
I would.
He was really super nice.
I've heard he's a very nice guy.
Yeah,
I would say I thought that the Dave Chappelle with a massive boombox was going to be peak backstage story for this.
He was not dancing to us, though.
No, he sounded like he was just chilling. But that's pretty amazing.
I played on my friend Nicole Yoon from Eternal Summers had a solo record just released this year. I played some on that. Nico Case last year.
Oh yeah, I saw you'd
the album Hell On.
Nice.
And do you know Matt Waskovich from Cleveland?
Yeah.
Scarcity of Tanks, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen him.
Doing a couple recording things with him.
Oh, nice. And then hopefully you'll get a new solo record out soon.
Yes.
I can't recommend those enough to any human with ears that work. I'd like to
get the first two records out on vinyl, Salamander and Call from Restricted.
And then
so maybe I should look
Malamute Jute.
Oh, that was the EP,
which is great though. I'm a dare I say completist with your solo catalog.
Oh well, thanks.
And a huge fan.
I'll send you that I Am a Tree demo.
Please. If you do that, I will have, I believe,
every... Just don't play it because I'm trying to figure out how to monetize it.
Yeah, no, I will just be for my ears only.
I'm just kidding.
I'll blog about it.
That was something that just happened. The Speak Kindly record just was re-released.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We remastered it. I worked pretty closely with the mastering engineer, Jamal. And so we got it a little fuller sounding. So it's out on vinyl.
Oh, cool.
Now.
And is that through Rockathon?
Yes. It's through Guided by Voices, Inc. / Rockathon Records.
Nice. Excellent. Anything else my massive global audience should know? It's really Chris and
there's another
people.
Guided by Voices Records coming out next year.
Oh, yeah.
Called Surrender Your Poppy Fields.
Wait, so there's After Sweating the Plague is another one?
Yeah, that's in the can.
Wow.
That's mastered now. So that'll probably be February, March. I'm not sure. No one quote me on that. I'm not.
All right. Well, Doug, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For coming over.
Yeah, thank you guys.
I appreciate it. Yeah, and we'll see you tomorrow night or tonight when this is released. We'll be the two guys just partying.
With the boombox.
Rocking.
Well, that sounds great.
Thank you. It's going to be sick. And there you have it, my delightful conversation with Doug Gillard. If you haven't already, go see Doug play with Guided by Voices, or maybe he'll be with Nada Surf or playing solo. And by all means, get... anything Doug plays on. He's one of the greatest guitar players of all time, but I particularly love his solo albums, his EP Malamute Jute, Salamander, Call from Restricted, and Parade On, because those records are incredible. Okay, I'm just gonna, I gotta put some deodorant on, put my face on, and head out the door to Symphony Space. It's really classy. There'll be salsa in the dressing room. I just know it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another exhilarating episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And we're going to leave you now with Doug's song that he wrote for August by Cake, the Guided by Voices album. It's called Goodbye Note, and Between You and Me, it's my favorite song on the record. Here it is. Thank you.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.